Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome into Sunday Skate. The final Sunday Skate of the season as the Bruins wind down with 2 games left in a lost season where the biggest talking point now is just what pick they end up with, where they are heading into the draft lottery, how they approach this offseason. You just heard from David Pastrnak after another tough night Thursday for the Bruins, a loss to the Chicago Blackhawks, one of the few teams below them in the standings. It was also a tough night for my BU Terriers in the national championship game, losing 6-2 to Western Michigan. Just lost to the better team. Western Michigan just outplayed them. Just deeper, more relentless, more structured, I thought. And, you know, some of BU's stars, I think, ran into a defense that is better than what they're used to facing and couldn't break through. So we can talk about that. We'll talk plenty of
Bruins. I'm surprised you're leaving that as a topic we can talk about.
You know, I debated
I thought you were just going to be like, nope, nothing happened last night. It was just a regular Saturday night. And
well,
yeah.
You know, for 10 years, I've been pretending the 2015 national title game didn't happen.
Yes. I thought that's what we were going to get today, too.
I think I'm going to try a different approach, a different way
acceptance?
To grieve. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
acceptance
just,
is
I
probably
think
a good
skip
way.
Right to acceptance. That's right. Yeah, I'm 10 years older now.
Well, you were in college in 2009, right, when they won?
Yeah, I was there as a sophomore.
The last time that BU won.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I still have that memory, you know. It's been 16 years now. I think we're ready for another one, but maybe next year.
Yep.
Well, it's been impressive. I mean, they get there every year.
Yeah.
Better than some of the other teams.
Yeah, three straight Frozen Fours in 3 years with Jay Pandolfo in charge. So that's the positive. Now, you know, BU like BC trying, you know, looking to break through. Like BC got there last year, lost to Denver in the championship game. So hockey's powerhouses are, you know, just the last 2 years coming up a bit short.
The NCHC. I mean, that's the classic
it's
conversation
crazy.
About how the NCHC, like Hockey East, oh, are they better than the NCHC? And they go back and forth. And it's like, well, the NCHC has won a lot of titles recently. So
yeah, I think, what, 7 of the last 9 now?
Yeah, UMass is the only one that from Hockey East in that stretch. So
yeah, and Quinnipiac from ECAC.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Big Ten hasn't won any, much to their chagrin.
Yep. But no, it's tough, but I mean, both conferences are so strong. And BU, the fact that they even were able to make a deep run in the tournament after the slow start that they had, I think was a proof of a great coaching job by Jay Pandolfo this season. Especially, I know they had talent, but to try to get guys to buy in defensively was a big struggle in the beginning of the season, and they started to do that. Their penalty kill got better. I don't know. And Mikhail Yegorov, obviously, big difference. And Razor, you would probably know this better. You know, they they bring in Yegorov in the second semester. Karan pretty much sees no ice time after that point. I think he played in one other game after that. What kind of a difference did Yegorov make for BU this year?
Well, a lot, obviously. But they knew they needed to get better in a lot of different areas. I mean, they were taking a major penalty every single game in the first half of the season. And so I think that was a kind of a perfect storm for Yegorov in that he came in at a perfect time where they had already kind of had their struggles. They've already had their issues that they knew they had to get better at. He was a catalyst for that. And then on top of it, you know, you talk about Pando and what he's done really well, what Kim Brandvold, what Joey Pereira have done really well is develop it. And these one and done kids, these first round picks, they've got them good over 6-7 months. Whatever they've been able to get to them, they've been able to get the culture into them after the holiday break. You know, that first half, a lot of learning, a lot of young kids, a lot of, you know, mistakes, and then they've dialed it in as the season's gone on. I think that's what they've done best, and they've done that consistently now over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I'd say all 3 seasons Pandolfo's been there, they have not started the season the way they would like. Now, I'm sure one of these years he'd love to just get off to a 9-0 start and, you know, rip out of the gates, but you're right. He has coached them up as the season's gone on and generally gotten them playing their best hockey towards the end.
He has to be someone who the Bruins are talking to in this offseason. Like, he has to be on the
interview list. I'm sure they'll make a call.
Oh, yeah. I think, at the very least, even if he turns it down, you have to knock on that door.
Yeah, I think Pandolfo's going to want to stay at BU. His son is a couple years away from probably going there. His son and both of his line mates from Rivers are heading out to the U.S. development program for the U-17 team. Freddie Meyer's son, also among that group, another BU alum. So I get the sense that Pandolfo's probably going to want to stick around a bit longer at BU, but
yeah, he's not jumping.
Yeah.
No chance.
If the Bruins really wanted him, you can try to just keep throwing more money and see if that does it, but the Bruins will have other options too. So we'll see, but no doubt, like, his name will, you know, people are going to throw it out there.
Yeah, and I said this before on the Skate podcast, but Nate Lehman's another guy who has come up in those conversations, and he's another guy whose son is going to come up through PC pretty soon. So, you know, that's probably another guy that stays put in college hockey as well.
Yeah, and the other big name in college hockey is David Carlo to Denver. Again, another guy that I don't see jumping unless the money's just crazy and it's like there's no way you can turn it down, but yeah, I mean, look, that leads us into as good a Bruins discussion as any, which is, like, where does this team look for its next coach? Because Don Sweeney was on Nesson during the second period of Thursday's game and was asked about the coaching search and what he's going to be looking for in the next full-time head coach. Obviously, Joe Sacco still has the interim tag, and Sweeney was complimentary of Sacco and the job that he's done trying to get this team through the season. Pointed out that he's essentially coached two different teams, pre-trade deadline and post-trade deadline. So, you know, look, Sacco's going to – they'll talk to Sacco. Like, he'll be considered. Personally, I'd be surprised if it ends up being Sacco as full-time head coach. But, you know, how wide of a net do they cast? Do they – look for someone who has ties to the organization in one way or the other, or is this the time to go completely outside the organization and try something new for them?
I have no sense. I typically kind of, you know, you get a feel, you hear things, you talk to people. I have none of that. I haven't heard one name that has been actually discussed or one name that's just been consistently over and over again. I don't know. Knowing kind of the cadence here, usually it's in-house. Typically, you know, it's in-house.
Don't you get the sense, though, that they don't want to do that this time? I feel like that's...
I don't know. That's saying. I don't know.
Last time they didn't. Jim Montgomery did not have ties to the organization.
He didn't. And he's, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. No idea.
Do you think, too?
I literally have no idea.
The sense that, or not the sense that I get, but just what keeps coming to my mind is that maybe they're waiting to see who else gets fired at the end of the season and that their guy is actually currently employed by someone else. And
I mean, nothing's going to happen. You have to wait till dominoes fall. You have to wait till. I mean, of course, you don't like make that decision now. You don't make that decision till, you know, this probably isn't going to happen till like the end of May, middle of May. I don't know when Monty got hired last time, but that was still kind of up in the air. And again, you're right. Joe Sacco is a piece of this as well. Like, it does. You know, where does he shake out? Does he deserve to be completely fired because of what happened after the trade deadline? He would have been, you know, he was doing a really good job for Jim Montgomery. He's done a really good job for Bruce Cassidy and what he's done in this situation. So where does he fit into this piece? Does he allow you to get a younger coach, a less experienced coach, if he's here and can kind of navigate some of those things for another guy? But again, I think it is truly speculation. I guess that's the best way to put it. It'll be truly speculation until three or four guys get fired, the first round gets finished, everything shakes out, both in the AHL for that matter. Again, I've been talking about the Providence Bruins, and everybody likes to use the Washington Capitals because they're the soup of the day. And Spencer Carberry was an AHL guy, won a Calder Cup. I know he went and coached somewhere else for an assistant, but he came back to the organization. If the P Bruins go on a long run, does that open up options as well? So, yeah, it's truly speculation. I don't think anyone, again, I gather no one really has a sense of what their plan is or what they're going to do. And it will be another huge story for all of us here to talk about in Boston.
Yeah, the Jim Montgomery hire was June 30th, by the way. So that was draft time, like days before free agency, or the day before free agency, I think. But I do remember the time that was considered late. Like, people thought that process had dragged on a bit and had even wondered, you know, had the Bruins kind of missed a window, missed out on guys. And I don't think they did, ultimately. Like, I never heard anything of, like, they wanted so-and-so instead and missed out on them. Like, I think for whatever reason, it was just a process that dragged on for them. And maybe they weren't, maybe they knew Montgomery was going to be there, so they didn't have to rush. But either way, yeah, you're probably, I would not expect this to be something where, like, 2 weeks after the season, the Bruins announce their next head coach. I mean, maybe if that guy's already out there and they know exactly who it is, but yeah, most likely you're looking at a month or two of this process. So, you know, Razor, you mentioned Spencer Carberry and kind of that mold of a guy who had AHL success, then went to Toronto as an assistant coach. You know, the Bruins reportedly interviewed him last time around. That was a year before Washington ended up hiring him. So we know they've looked at that path or that kind of guy who hasn't been an NHL head coach. I'm assuming there's going to be guys who kind of fit that mold of, you know, who's the next AHL head coach who's going to make the jump, because they're probably going to be looking at that guy. And, like, even in-house, Jay Leach fits that mold.
And
as a guy who had success in Providence, went out to Seattle as an assistant coach in the NHL, and now came back to Boston for 1 year here as an assistant coach, which maybe complicates it a bit, where you're like, okay, well, this season went so poorly. Again, do you want to just completely rip the Band-Aid off from this year and go in a different direction? Or is Jay Leach still someone that they feel think very highly of in-house?
And this is another one of those situations that the Bruins have done a really good job at this. You know, to go from Claude to Bruce to Jim, hiring through the process, whatever their process is in hiring these guys, they've done a fantastic job. Again, I hear the criticism, oh, he's fired three. Well, he's also hired these three guys too. He's found them. And you talk about Spencer Carberry coming in for an interview. Like, he would have worked out too if they took him. So they have a good sense. They have conviction in what they like and what they want. Again, everything is speculation at this point, but you have to. They're going to get the benefit of the doubt with whoever they hire, with the way they've made decisions in the past on very, very good coaches.
I feel like we can rule out John Tortorella.
Yeah, probably.
Think that one is probably not going to happen, especially with the comments about not wanting to be involved in a rebuild. And, you know, that's going to be part of what the next coach has to do, is take the next steps with the roster that they put together next year and probably deal with a lot of younger guys. And Tortorella specifically said he doesn't want to do that. So, and I don't know if his personality is what they'd be looking for either. So I think we can rule him out.
Yeah, and I would rule out Tortorella, but that is like another path you can look at, is the guy who's been around and had success and won a lot of games in the NHL. Like I've mentioned, if not here, then on other shows I've been on, like if Pittsburgh lets Mike Sullivan go, I mean, there's a local guy with family here and family on the team, and Charlie McAvoy as his son-in-law, like.
And I've mentioned Peter Laviolette, too.
Peter Laviolette.
Rangers.
Very likely out with the Rangers, based on all reports. So, yeah, like, now, do those guys want to come here if they think this is, you know, if they think this retool or rebuild might drag on a bit? Like, they might not want to be a part of that either. Or do they think it can happen quickly? So, it's going to be a fascinating search, because there's so many different ways that it could go, because it's been a long time since the Bruins were here and looking for a coach in this situation. They're always looking for the coach who, all right, we're building up, we're trying to win a Stanley Cup. Who's the coach who helps us get there? Like, that's one process. Now you're, how do we just get back to the playoffs? Like, how do we start building this next core that hopefully somewhere down the line gets us to a Stanley Cup? But this is a different process than where they've been before. Like, the most similar would be Cassidy, because that was a younger team at the time that was just trying to squeak into the playoffs. But, you know, it's, but again, they're in a different spot, and it's a different, the job looks different to coaches too than it has in the past.
Well, and again, if you think they're in a similar position to where they were with Cassidy, then you look to Ryan Mongeil.
Mougenel.
Yeah. You look to Mougenel. That's what Bruce Cassidy was.
Yeah.
He knew all the guys that were up here. He knew the younger guys. He had a sense. So if Mougenel and the Providence Bruins can go to the finals this summer, that changes the narrative. That changes where his standing is. He's going to get an interview. And again, that's you kind of again. You have to look at history. You have to look at tendencies, and that's the tendency. If he continue, you know, if they go on a run, if they do believe that's where they're going to go, that's what they like to do.
Yeah, and think about if it's a young roster of some of the guys we've been seeing over the last few weeks, like Fabian Lysell, like Riley Durant, who just got called up, like Fraser Mitton, like those guys that he's had a little bit more time to work with because he's been down in Providence with them, especially Lysell, he's seen for a while now, and he's somebody that has probably a decent assessment on what they need to still work on and what kind of player they can be. So there certainly would be benefit to knowing what you have in your system there.
Yeah, and the players who come up under Ryan Mougenel love him. Like, all speak very highly of him. On or off the record, I've not heard a bad word from a player. And, like, that is similar to some things, like that group that came up under Cassidy. Like, those guys really liked and respected him. Okay, we got to catch our first break here, but that's on the table as a topic, Bruins coaching search. We will get into roster and what that's going to look like in the offseason and how the Bruins build that. We can do draft. We have...
got to get some goalie questions for Razor.
We have a long text about college hockey, which we'll touch on. All on the table. Give us a call or text 617-779-7937. We'll be back with more Sunday Skate after David Azer has your trending.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. Scott McLaughlin here with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Peru. David Azer producing behind the glass. So you heard Pasternak there talking about the Bruins' de facto third line of Riley Durand making his NHL debut Thursday night. Woburn kid, Providence College product.
Missing his front tooth. Looks like a hockey player.
Yeah, already down a tooth coming up. He was on a line with Fraser Minton, who we've now seen for a few games.
Minty.
And Murat Husnadinov, who...
Who's he?
I think we're still working through some nicknames on Husnadinov. You hear Kuzi, Kusti.
Pasta called him Kuzi.
I thought he threw the T
Which,
in there.
Which, ironically, you don't pronounce the K in his name, so, you know, either way, yeah. It's not the best, but...
Kuzi worked. Like, Kuzi's a good nickname. Just go with that. But, yeah, that does take us to a discussion, though, about, you know, the youth and what this team looks like, because a big part of this offseason is going to be determining how many young guys do you have who... either are ready to make an impact, or I'm not even going to say make an impact. how many young guys are ready to play on this team out of camp next season? How many are parts of what you're building for the future? And how many are just kind of tweeners or depth guys and you can't really count on to be core pieces? Because that is going to, in part, determine like how active you have to be in free agency and trades. You know, are you filling 8 spots up front or 4 and you're leaving some open for kids? Like, realistically, we know there's going to be some open spots because you can't go out and add 8 legitimate NHL players. But what that looks like is so fascinating because I think we see some positives from all these young guys at times, and then you see inconsistency. And, you know, to me, like, up front at least, like, I don't know if you can really count on any of these guys to, like, make this team out of camp and be ready to contribute out of the gate next season. But I don't know. Am I being too negative there?
Not at all. Not at all. They have a lot, like, a lot is going to happen here from now to September. It's just, I wouldn't read anything into anything that's going on right now. You know, Riley Duran coming up, that's great. It's a great story. He gets to play his first game on home ice. But would he be playing? Would he have gotten called up if the Bruins needed one player and they were 2 points out of the playoffs right now? Probably not, right? Like, this is garbage time. This is the ultimate garbage time of the National Hockey League season, where you throw guys bones that have had good seasons, you throw bones to guys that are home around this area, you do all these nice things for everybody, but it's completely sentimental, or it's completely experimental in just throwing things against the wall because nothing, you know, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter at all. So again, go back to the playoffs down there for those guys. They have a huge opportunity to go on a run and really prove and really get better and develop over the next couple of months and put seeds into players, into coaches' heads. But again, we've talked so much. This team isn't going to the bottom, which means they're not going to have 6 rookies in their, you know, up front. They're not going to have a whole line of rookies for that matter. They have $25, $30 million of cap space. Like, all of that's got to get spent. You've got to bring guys in. Realistically, these 4, 5, 6 guys are fighting for one spot, maybe 2 at the end of the day up front, because that's just the nature of the NHL. Whatever coach you're bringing in here, even if it's a guy from the minors, you don't want to start a season that you're expected to win, that you have Charlie McAvoy, they had David Pastrnak, that you got to get out of the gates with 5 rookies. It's just, so, you know, not all these guys are going to play. Most of them probably aren't even going to have NHL careers at the end of the day. That's harsh and not, but that's the reality of it. It truly is. So I'm glad these guys are getting a chance. I'm glad they're getting their games, but I wouldn't read too much into it.
And what you're saying is basically Don Sweeney, Cam Neely have a lot of groundwork to do to try to fill in those spots from outside the system, the current system and the current guys that they're getting a look at right now.
They got tons. I mean, and again, they knew that when they traded away Frederick, Carlo, Coyle, Marchand. Those are 4. Like, you don't take out 4 of those guys, National Hockey Leaguers, like real NHLers, and then just put 4 rookies in those places and think you're going to win. Like, that's not, you know, it doesn't work like that. So yeah, they know they need to bring a ton of guys in.
Yeah, let's go to the phones here. We got Jerry in Arlington with some thoughts on the rebuild. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm glad to be on, and I just had a question in moving forward with the amount of draft picks that we do have. I mean, obviously, Sweeney and Neely are going to be able to, you know, make qualified picks because I look in the past and we have, like, guys like Wiesel and Merkulov, who, you know, are Merkulov's up for a trial, right? I mean, Wiesel's up for a trial right now. We see what he can do. And then not only the confidence in making those picks, the development of the young talent, you know, is that missing in the system, or is it just a matter that we haven't had a lot of draft picks in recent years because of trades and such? So that was pretty much my question. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, so it's twofold, right? Because the Bruins haven't had a lot of high first-round picks. Haven't really had any since, if you want to call it, you know, Charlie McAvoy was a top 15 pick, so that probably qualifies as high. They haven't picked in the top 10 since Dougie Hamilton. That was 2011. You know, that was 14 years ago. Like, it's that is where you get impact players. That is where you have actual high percentage of hitting on players. Like, late first round picks are, it's a total crapshoot. Like, it really is. Go pick out any draft and look at the picks on the 20s and tell me how many impact NHLers there were. In a good year, it might be 4 out of like 10 that go in the 20s. Normally, it's probably 2. Like, it's a low percentage. And then, you know, forget about second round and beyond. Like, I think people, certainly from, you know, like, the NHL draft is more like the NBA draft in that sense, where there's really only a small group of impact players, and then you're kind of just hoping. It's not the NFL, where even if you pick a guy 25th, you expect him to come in and contribute quickly. Like, you expect him to be a starter for years to come. It's just not like that. So the Bruins haven't had those high picks where you can actually, you know, land impact talent. Now they're going to have one this year, and you have to hit on that guy. But, like, beyond that, you know, so the next question there is, like, is there a development issue? Like, should Fabian Lysell be better than he is right now and more impactful? You know, did they not develop him correctly? Do they not know how to develop, you know, a quote-unquote skilled player? Like, that's also been a debate.
Yeah, it has. It's funny. I would just hear in on the radio. It just happened that they were going through draft efficiency over the years, and at Bruins were on. So I sat in the car for 2 extra minutes to listen because I knew this was going to come up. And the samples, like, over the 10 years, they've had 19 second and third round picks. 9 of them have been NHLers. Like, they're 11th in draft, like, whatever the metric was. I didn't hear the start of it, so I don't know exactly what all the pieces and the context of it was. But they're not. I know people like to think that they're like 32nd in drafting. They're actually pretty good drafters. And you go through the second and third round picks that they've got, the late first round picks, and if they play 200 games, if you pick a kid 29th overall and he plays 200 games, that's an amazing draft pick. Like, you said it right, Scott, in that it's not the NFL draft, and I think so many people, if you're somewhat casual to it, just assume that everybody who gets drafted to the NHL just plays. Like, it's automatic, you're going to play, and it's just nothing could be further from the truth when you're taking 18-year-old kids that you don't know what you're going to get. So they can't miss on the top one this year, and then after that, you hope. It's really how it works. Like, it's top 10, you can't miss on, and then you hope after that.
And where they are right now, really good chance they're drafting in the top 5, based on, you know.
Yeah, hopefully the ping pong balls go their way. They if they can lose today or Tuesday night, they're automatically top 5. So that's, you know, top 5 in the lottery. Of course, you could get bumped around in that situation. And then I've started to kind of ask around, like, what's the deal? Because, again, that's the other thing, too, right? Like, everyone acts like they're draft experts. But unless you're actually in these rinks 50 times a year, you don't just read an article and be like, oh, this is the guy the Bruins need to get. It's much, so much.
You can't just watch 5 minutes of highlights.
Yeah, don't
YouTube.
Listen to Bob McKenzie 1 for 2 minute highlight and then be like, oh, yeah, that's the guy. But sniffing around a little bit, because this is what we're going to do in the next couple months, is there's 8 top 10 picks. It's not really deep in the top of the draft, but the second and third rounder is going to produce a bunch of good players out of that. So it's not deep up top. It's a little bit deeper as you get into the 50 to 100 picks. There's a lot of good players in that area considering. But basically, don't fall out of the top 8. Then it's going to get difficult. Then you're taking more of a flyer. And then the top 10 list, there's probably 1 or 2 kids that could come out of the outside of the top 10 that NHL teams think are real top tens that no one's really getting. So, though, if they get in the top five, there's no issues. That they'll have many players to choose from.
Which means you're rooting for them, the Bruins, to lose today, this afternoon, against the Penguins and their final game of the season, their final home game against New Jersey. And you're also rooting
for... Well, no, you want them to win at home. If they lose today, then they're automatic. Philly's got to lose out, I guess, regulation.
Yeah, they'll get big wins. Seattle.
Big wins yesterday by Philly and Seattle. That really helped you.
It's a huge deal. So, yeah, win at home in the last game. You're handing the jersey out afterwards. You know, everyone have fun there Tuesday night.
Yeah, and, you know, the other... So why it's important to be top five or maybe top six is if you're the Bruins and you're so focused on the center position, and I do want to say, like, there's some risk in just drafting positional need. Like, if you think someone is the clear best player on the board and they're not a center, like, you can and probably should still take that player.
Yes.
Now, the top of this draft is pretty center heavy, so it's a good draft for the Bruins specifically to be in the top five. You know, Matthew Schaefer is the consensus number one pick. He's a defenseman. After that, you could argue the next four are centers. Certainly four of the next five. Michael Meese is the number two. He's a center. And then the other names that you're going to want to know, that people should know, James Haggins, who played at BC, who came into the season as probably the number one and slipped a little. How far he ultimately slipped, I guess we'll find out at the draft. But most people still have him ranked top five. Anton Frändell, who's playing in Sweden, in the second pro league, so he's already playing against pros. As an under 18 player in the, I'm going to take my shot here, Allsvenskan.
Hockey Allsvenskan.
Allsvenskan, okay.
Yeah, pretty good.
It was close enough.
Set the scoring record for an under 18 player. You know who's second and third on that list?
Willie Nylander and David Pastrnak.
Yes. So, like, there's your stat to latch onto if you want Anton Frändell. Now, Frändell is more physically mature than both of those guys were at that age, so that's a factor. And then Caleb Desnoyers out of Quebec, major juniors, playing for Moncton, the top team up there. He's been the best player on the best team. You know, by all accounts, like, really good two-way center. Maybe not as much obvious, like, offensive skill as Frändell and Haggins, but perhaps the more polished all-around game. So those are the guys you're looking at. If you're top five, you can get one of them. If you think those are the top five guys, you get a center who at least has a chance to be a number one center. Of that kind of second tier, those three guys, Desnoyers, Haggins, Frändell, none of them are going to be a lock to be a legit number one center in the NHL, but they all have a chance. And, like, that's right now, if you're the Bruins, hey, that's as good as anything. Like, that's your best opportunity right now to find a number one center.
Well, and what the big, you know, and again, just to go back to, like, everyone in these rankings and the prospects that the Bruins have, et cetera, as soon as they get one of those guys, their prospect number goes up to, like, 15 automatically, right? Like, it goes from 32 to 15 instantly because you have one of these kind of players. And that just kind of goes to those rankings that are a little bit silly at times. But there's no question they have, again, they get a guy here that will be an NHLer. No matter what, they're getting an NHLer here. For the first time, you can write it in stone, they're getting an NHLer in this draft. And that's the positive at this point.
Yeah, and they're drafting in every round this year. So they have a first rounder, which is mainly what we've been talking about. They also have two second round picks, and then they have one in each of the following rounds. So they have plenty of different swings to take in the middle rounds and with those picks as well. But obviously the main focus that us and everyone else that's a Bruins fan is going to be talking about from here on out until the draft is going to be those top guys.
Yeah, and not their own second round pick, it's worth noting. So they're not picking at the top of the second round.
Carolina and St. Louis's second round picks.
Yeah, so those are going to be later, you know, second half of the second round. All right, I do see calls that we want to get to, that there's text.
I want to talk to Maria.
You can weigh in, 617-779-7937. We do have to catch a break here, though, but we will be right back.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. We're talking a little bit about draft prospects last segment. A couple guys coming out of the OHL. We would be remiss if we didn't mention that someone in this room had a son drafted into the OHL yesterday.
It was me.
Yes, that's right. Mace Van, yeah.
Congrats to Razor and Mason.
Congrats to him, yes. Yeah, he's fired up, so it was great to be able to go the... to be in the mix for the OHL route now with all the new rules. And as a kid here, of course, that's my route, and I would have loved to have played there and then gone to college. That would have been the dream.
Did you ever consider, like, college?
No, I didn't. I wasn't in the mix at all. I could go on my story, but I wasn't that great. 16-17, like, I was a really late OHL pick and was small and skinny and hadn't grown really at all. So my year was kind of 16-17-18 when I grew, but So no colleges were in the mix at that point. So Mace is, it's great. He's excited. He'll be able to go to camp, get some experience, and see where he's at in 18 months.
Do I recall that you said that you didn't want your kids to be goalies, and then...
Oh yeah, I didn't let him play goalie at all. Like he didn't start until he was 10, maybe 11, and yeah, certainly he was not a club hockey kid. I was trying to make him be a soccer player, and I failed miraculously at that.
He had the genetics. He was like, I was born a goalie, man.
Yeah, he literally did it completely on his own, and again, I shot pucks at his head. I did everything I did not want him to do it. This is going to suck. I told him how bad it was going to be. Not one positive thing. And he has persevered through all of that, of a terrible parenting of my own. So again, I did have to flip. It was getting to a point where I was being a bad dad. I looked myself in the mirror like, you're actually being a bad dad by not being supportive of this. So I had to flip. So
does he have a similar style as you?
Oh, well, he would say absolutely not. He thinks I sucked. He watches the videos like, this is embarrassing. It's fun. It is a weird thing, like how it is natural for him. Like, he has a natural, he has natural ability, has natural stance. He looks the part. So we'll see where it goes. If, I just want him to go to school and be smart. So we'll see.
So because we were talking about, you know, now that you can go to the CHL and then go to college, we had a text, a long one from the 219, asking, you know, are we going to see teams draft top players out of the CHL and maybe direct them towards college? Or will some of these players choose college on their own? Because we hear rumors. So far, there hasn't been like that. You know, Mack and Celebrini was a different situation. Mack and Celebrini had picked the college route before, you know, at a much younger age, because this wasn't an option when he was going through it.
Yeah.
But now, like, you hear there was a rumor about Michael Misa earlier this year playing college next season. Now people think he might just be able to jump straight to the NHL. But you even hear, like, Gavin McKenna a year out. Like, would he go to college? He's going to be the number one overall pick next year. You know, the texter was asking about, like, Roger McQueen or Porter Marton, these guys who might go, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8, whatever. Like, are NHL teams going to try to direct some of these guys to the college route? Because it's an older game. It's bigger, more physically mature opponents. It is a step up in a lot of ways.
It's going to be fascinating. Everyone's asking those kind of questions right now. The landscape is changing by the minute.
Yeah.
Yep.
And no one has a handle on it. That's for sure. So if anyone like says, "Oh, this is what everyone," that is not true, because no one knows what any of this means or mad. Like, it is the Wild West. But the answer is yes. The answer is there's no question the NHL teams are starting to partake in the portal themselves, whether it's having a kid from juniors come to college, or whether it's, hey, you probably should move your kid from one college to another college. Mm-hmm. Those conversations are having, which is absolutely mind-blowing to think that that's where we're at in the game. But the genie's out of the bottle, and college sports is pro sports,
basically everyone's on a 1-year deal,
100%.
And sometimes not even that. Sometimes guys move mid-season,
month to month, yeah. It is full on chaos. And as bad as it is in football and basketball, hockey's getting there. And what I think will happen, because again, even for a lot of kids to go from, as a 17-year-old turning 18, to go to college is probably pretty young still. Socially, there, of course, there's a Macklin Celebrini out there. There's a Jack Eichel out there for everybody. But I think typically it's more that 19-year-old year that's going to be interesting to see what they do. And certainly you're going to see a bunch of 20-year-old kids instead of going to the AHL. Like, Matt Patra is going to go to BC rather than go to the AHL. And Fabian Lysell will go to junior as a Swedish kid, he'll go, he was out in BC, then he'll come and he'll play at BU for the year and then go rather than playing in pro. So I can see the real issue being the AHL getting stunted a little bit with the 20-year-old, 21-year-olds that end up going to college instead. I think the idea of if I was a parent, I wouldn't have my kid leave junior after his first year of junior as an 18-year-old. Like, getting drafted and going back to junior is a good thing where you really dominate. And then if you do that and you get your 150 points at junior, then you can look to jump to college. But teams are going to have development issues, the ideas, and they're going to want players to go to certain coaches in college. It's a whole big mess.
Yeah, well, I'm all for, and this is biased 100% on my point because I broadcast so many college hockey games. I just want to see the best players. Just send them through college, send them through Hockey East specifically, or at least New England. And I just always want to see, get a look at these guys. And it brings so much more interest to the college game, to what coaches and players are doing in college, to our broadcasts. Like, I'm completely biased. I want the best players to come through, and I want to be able to broadcast their games.
Yeah, and there's going to be, it's almost double-tiered. Like, there will be more top players coming through college because guys who previously were just locked into staying in the CHL who get drafted top 10, like, they might go. But then, to Ray's point, there's also going to be more of the 20-year-olds who are now done in the CHL and now have NCAA as an option that wasn't there before. So, you know, there's how college hockey changes is going to be fascinating. We know some of these local teams are going to be right at the front of it because BU and BC are going to be in on all the top guys, and every other Hockey East team is going to be looking for those 20-year-old kids. Like, you know, I saw a stat from Brad Schlossman, who covers North Dakota hockey, after the national championship last night, that like the college teams that are loaded with these first round picks aren't winning national titles. Only one of the last 10 has had more than one first round pick on it. And that was North Dakota the year that they won. So, you know, BU gets there, but they didn't win. BC got there last year, but
BU
they didn't
win.
BU and
BC, certainly the last two seasons, you notice it.
Well, and before that, it was Michigan when they had like 15 first rounders, and they got beat by Minnesota State.
Yeah, that team that Johnny Beecher was on.
Yeah, and Owen Power and all
Minnesota
those guys
losing to Quinnipiac in the national championship.
Yeah,
same thing.
Right.
Yeah,
so, Matty Nice.
Yeah, so we do have to catch another break, Maria. We're going to lead off next hour with you, so stay on the line. You can join us 617-779-7937. We'll be right back with hour two of Sunday Skate.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.